Let me take just a moment to welcome you to the January 2013 issue of Gospel Gazette Online, edited by my brother in the Lord and good friend, Lewis Rushmore. I want to thank you for taking a moment to download this audio feature, A Word Between Friends. I am Tim Childs, minister for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Baldwin, Mississippi, and I count it an honor to have this opportunity to share a few brief moments with you. We don't have to meet someone face-to-face to be interested in their spiritual well-being. I may never meet you on this side of approaching death and eternity, but nevertheless, I care about you, as do the evangelists for the churches of Christ who live near you. The Apostle Paul wrote the Christ-centered book of Colossians to a group of Christians he had never had the privilege to meet. However, he had learned from the evangelist Epaphras commendable things, such as their steadfast faith in the Lord. Paul writes in Colossians 2 verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Paul was not indifferent about them. Rather, he was struggling on their behalf, and including them in his fervent prayers. Christians are not to limit their care for only people close at hand, but even for those in faraway places they may never meet. Toward fulfilling our responsibilities of service, Peter teaches us in 1 Peter 2:17 to love the brotherhood, an expression which is quite inclusive, extending beyond the local church family. Jesus came to earth on a mission. He did not come here to focus on his own personal needs and interests. He came to expand the borders of the kingdom of heaven. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. As we enter 2013, we may need to evaluate our efforts and renew our commitment to the salvation of weary sinners. We, too, must be about the Father's business, bearing in mind it's not a business with a political, social, or economic agenda. The Father's business is in a category all by itself. It is spiritual, and it was Jesus, our Savior, who said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So, it's not to function as a carnal entity. To some, January 1st may seem like any other day. However, it marks not only the beginning of a new month, but also a new year. The word new should be a word with special significance for us. Does it mean anything to a boy who says to his girlfriend, "I have a new car"? Does it mean anything to the woman who says to her lifelong friend, "I am moving into a new house"? Does it mean anything to the little boy who announces to his buddy, "I got a new toy"? Does it mean anything to the man who says to his fishing partner, "I got a new fishing boat"? The word new in each instance is a word with special meaning. Something new has brought a measure of joy or excitement. Someone has said the most encouraging thing about a new day, a new week, or a new year is the word new. Whether writing or painting, sometimes we mess up and want to start all over. To begin anew with a clean sheet of paper or canvas. The new year sometimes inspires us to renew our efforts. It encourages us to make another attempt, to correct failings of the past. Not that it is an excuse for our failures, but we are human and oftentimes we don't measure up to God's holy standard. But we must press forward with God's help toward completion in Christ. In life, sometimes we experience failures in our relationships with others, whether it be with one's spouse, children, or maybe other relatives. We have failures in our relationships with church family. They may be relational failures with a boss, coworkers, or neighbors down the street. Therefore, when we make New Year's resolutions, we may seek to improve our relationships in the new year. Do you have any room to grow in your interpersonal relationships in 2013? I cannot deny that I have room to grow in this area. Speaking of our relationships, let's take it further. Sometimes we fail in the most important relationship of all. Here I have reference to the vertical dimension, the relationship with the one who made us, who fashioned us in his very image, Genesis 1:26 and 27. While some seemingly have erased it from their vocabulary, the word sin is the key word that indicates a failure on our part. In this unique relationship we hold the Creator of the universe. Sin is used by Satan to drive a wedge between us and the Father above. He is quite adept with the employment of his devices. At least in part, to safeguard us against such failure by sin, we are to develop a love deep within our hearts, a love for God that surpasses the love we have for any other person or anything. We must not fall into the pessimistic trap of doubt and defeat in saying, "You know, I hear you, Tim, and that's all well and good, but I can't love God more than, you fill in the blank. Tim, are you telling me I must love God more than my parents? That I must love God more than my spouse or children or worldly pleasure?" Yes, yes, yes. That is exactly what I'm saying. It is a conscious choice that every one of us must make. It is best we make it with a good understanding of divine truth revealed within the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Three of the four writers of the Gospel narratives include Jesus talking about the greatest commandment under the former law. It is found in Matthew 22:36-37, Mark 12:28-30. Additionally, it laid the foundation for one of the best known parables spoken by Jesus concerning the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:25-27. My friend, God calls for the scope of our love toward Him to be most comprehensive. To a scribe who had asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" He replied, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Mark 12:30. In other words, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy all. No reservations, nothing held back. Our spiritual being is to be wholly engaged in this love with God as its preeminent object of devotion. While we'll never love God just as He loves us, perhaps most of us, even as yet, have room to grow in our love toward Him who first loved us. Speaking for myself, I still have plenty of room to grow in this area too. As we set ourselves at the beginning of 2013, let's make sure we are moving closer toward God and growing in our love for Him. He is most worthy and deserving of our love, as He gave us the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, the gift of His Son. Please contact us at Gospel Gazette Online, and we will be happy to see that you learn how to have a totally new beginning with new life and salvation, which is only available in Christ. Happy New Year to you and your family.